Good evening. This is the PNB National Finance Committee, and my name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the secretary of the committee. The chair isn't here, so in his absence, I will start the meeting. And the first thing we start the meeting with is the roll call. Please answer when you hear your name called. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Semigarwal.
Present.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah.
Hazar.
Pardon me, I'm choking. Nancy Sword. Alex Steinberg. Okay, we have six, and that is a quorum. All right. The first thing we need to do is determine what we want to do about a chair pro tem. And so does anybody want to make any nominations for chair pro tem at this point in time?
I nominate you, Mansoor.
Are there any other nominations for chair of the meeting? I will note again, as last time, things will not be instant because I will have to write stuff down while I'm chairing. So there will be little lags and delays as we keep things in order. Saying that, is there any other are there any other nominations for chair pro tem of this particular meeting? Hearing none, I guess I'm it. And there we go again. Okay.
Hey, R. Paul, I'll be happy to chair it if you wish to and burden you for doing everything.
Well, I can do it.
It's up to you.
I'll try it. If it gets awful, we'll let somebody else do it, I suppose. All right. So, therefore, I guess I'm chairing. First thing we need to do is come up with an agenda. Would somebody like to make a suggestion? I guess what we should probably do is have some suggestions for agenda items and sort of create the motion right here and now, because I don't think anybody has shown up with a written agenda, right?
Mansoor would like to have one item on the agenda.
Okay, what is it?
I would like to start a conversation how to do fundraising, bringing in money to the station, and I think we should put it part of our task and duties to raise money and come up with ideas how to bring money to the foundation this year, and we'll figure out next year. So just a conversation.
Ken to the stack.
And Bill.
All right, so there's one item suggested. Ken Aaron, yeah?
Well, I object to that item on the agenda. It's a waste of time. Secondly, I'd like to add to the agenda the motion that was tabled in the last meeting, or postponed, or whatever you call it. The motion just the way it was.
Yes.
Without a change.
That. Okay, so that will be there.
I don't want to belabor
Let me just why don't we just throw in what we would like, and we can argue this thing when we make a motion to have an agenda. Right now I'm getting what people want. Bill, you want something?
We need to approve minutes from last meeting. And I guess I have like an amendment to what Mansoor said. It's kind of basically what I was going to say was how to not just bring in money, which means, more revenue, but also maybe cutting expenses. Like that could be one agenda item. So I'm amending that to include cutting expenses as well as increasing revenue.
I'd like to suggest a CFO report and Q&A after that. So we're just throwing out ideas here for an agenda. Anybody else have any other stuff they want to throw in for the agenda? Okay, I'm not hearing any others. Okay, we have two that are kind of redundant. One is how to do fundraising, and the other one is how to bring in revenue and cut expenses.
Point of information, this is Ken.
Yeah.
The notice for this meeting said closed, open meeting and closed meeting. Is that still true?
Did it?
Yeah.
Look at that. I don't remember putting up a session. So hold on, I'm bringing it up right now. And no, the 13th, February 13th, it's Finance Committee. And it just has regular meeting. There's nothing about an executive session. Okay. So what we let's see. Okay, so we have one, two, three.
Pardon me. This is Ken. I'm looking at it. It says regular meeting. Below that, it says open session dial-in. Below that, it says executive session dial-in. So
you're looking at kpftx.org?
No, I'm looking at my email.
That's unofficial, and that has no bearing on this. What's up on kpftx.org is regular, ordinary meetings. So, you know, there's some pro forma stuff that's sent out, and it doesn't relate. No notice has been given for an executive session.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So, what we probably should do is, let me see. I'm trying to put this together here. I think approval of minutes is probably easy enough to throw in at the front. Then CFO report and question and answer after it. All right, I'm going to put some stuff in here and so that we can have a motion, and then if people want to change this order fast, we can do it with an amendment. Hold on. Okay. Sam, how much time would you like for a CFO report? Sam? Would whoever's preparing something on top of the phone please mute themselves or something? Thank you. Sam, how much time would you like for a CFO report?
Yeah, I think 10 minutes will be fine, but maybe we may reserve 15 minutes for the question answers.
15 for question and answer?
Right.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
15. All right. Expenses and stuff. Why don't we make that like 30 minutes? The motion from the last meeting. The last meeting. That's how long? Oh, we didn't set any times, but. Let's make that 15. All right. So, I'm going to make a motion. Second. I move to approve the following agenda. 1. Approved minutes, 5 minutes. CFO report, 10 minutes. Questions and answer after the CFO report, 15 minutes. Tab that in there. How to bring in revenue and cut expenses, 30 minutes. And motion from the last meeting, 15 minutes. And that's the motion. And is there any debate or amendments or anything else on the, wait. And new business, because you always have to have new business. And finally, new business. There it is. All right, so that's 6 items. Approved minutes, CFO report, question and answer after that, how to bring in revenue and cut expenses, the motion postponed from the last meeting, and new business. Any debate or amendments or anything?
and set new next
Ken.
Meeting date.
Oh, yes. All right. Where should we put that? Why don't we put that right after Q&A? Next meeting. Okay. All right. That's 5 minutes, I'll put. All right, so the motion at this point becomes approved minutes, 5 minutes. CFO report, 10 minutes. Question and answer after CFO report, 15 minutes. Next meeting date, 5 minutes. How to bring in revenue and cut expenses, 30 minutes. Motion from the last meeting, 15 minutes, and then new business. Okay. Anybody want to make, and that's the motion, here, there it is. Anybody want to make an amendment or debate it or anything else?
Yeah, Ken.
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
As well.
Okay.
All right, so this isn't the proper format for having a think tank about how to generate new income. If somebody's got data or a proposal or a motion, then it's appropriate. But to just sit around and talk about lemonade stands and having better programming and doing events and yada, 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 like a think tank is silly, just absolutely silly. If somebody wants to come in with a report and say, this is the net return on a gross investment for advertising or for special events, or we found by doing talk shows we've earned more money. If somebody's got data and wants to make a proposal, then it's appropriate to discuss it in committee. But to sit here and ruminate what our personal experiences are is silly, because obviously this is one of the major areas that Pacifica has a problem with. And I don't see where, unless there's a treasurer or a participant in this meeting who can present themselves and say, oh, I have tremendous experience and a proven track record, then I don't see the point in going through this. We've all chatted about this many times, and I feel very friendly to everybody in this committee. I don't need to exchange dialogue and establish rapport. So, which is the only thing that could come out of it. So if the committee wants it, I would at least request that you move my motion from last session ahead of that dialogue.
Okay, so you want to make an amendment of some sort. What is your amendment?
My amendment is that the motion from the last meeting is put on the agenda right after the, what was it, setting the next meeting? That's after the Q&A, you know. Okay. Before the end of the meeting. So put that conversation at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
And if people want to.
So what I have is to move the motion from the last meeting to right after setting the next meeting date. Okay.
Thank you. That's the amendment.
I object to that.
Sam? Okay.
Yeah, I object to that. And the reason why I'm objecting is that the intention of the resolution is not clear. So I can expand on that later on when the resolution comes up for vote. But to me, it looks like very difficult to approve or to understand.
A point of information, I don't understand the objection. Is it an objection to the motion or hearing the motion?
It is both, to the motion and to placing that in front of what Bill has recommended. I agree that it should not be mere discussion. But given the state of situation we are, we should definitely try to put together some concrete proposal, some idea from the Finance Committee, which can go to the PNB in terms of a solid suggestion. So I don't have a particular idea or particular motion at this time, but that should be more important rather than any other resolution.
Okay.
And Bill?
Ken, I'm not. That's an agreement with what I stated. It's not a discussion. If somebody has a motion that we can put forward to the PNB, that's fine. But to sit here and, you know, to brew it is silly. So anyhow, I just want to move my motion forward.
Yeah, well, okay. That's the amendment. Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think we should have I don't mind putting Ken's motion from last meeting at the end, but I do think we need to – I mean, I really can't think of anything more important right now than figuring out how we can get our revenues up and reduce expenses. We're having a real financial crisis in Pacifica right now, and, you know, not just figuring out how we're going to allocate money that's already coming in isn't going to solve the problem. What we need to do is get more money coming in. Or figure out if there's some assets we're going to, you know, use to generate revenue. And, you know, it's really impossible to do this kind of brainstorming on the PNB calls. It's too big. The NFC is, I mean, this is about finances. This is the topic for this. It's the purpose for this committee is to deal with things like this. And I appreciate hearing from everybody. I think if we put our heads together, we can come up with some proposals. It might be the TNB pick two out of these four, or I don't know what, how many proposals we might come up with, but, you know, I think we need, it will help the PNB save time, and that special meeting that it's having this Thursday, which is also supposed to be devoted to this topic, it will save time if we can come up with some proposals to submit to them. So I'm in favor of keeping that on the agenda after the Q&A.
Okay. Is there any further debate or comment on the amendment that's on the floor, which is to move the motion from the last meeting to right after sitting next meeting date? Hearing none. I think, okay, I'll have to ask. Is there any objection to the amendment to move the motion from the last meeting to right after sitting next meeting date?
Yeah, I object to that.
Okay. And so, all right, so, copy that, paste it here, and here we go. Okay, the amendment is to move the motion from the last meeting to right after set the next meeting date, which basically moves it up ahead of how to bring in revenue and cut expenses. So, in terms of the motion to move the motion in the agenda, let's go to a vote. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Sam Agarwal.
No.
Nick Arena.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Nick Economidis? Didn't hear anything. Sabrina Jacobs? R. Paul Martin? I'm going to pass. Mansoor Sabah?
No.
All right. And let's see. Nick Economidis, not here?
He's been replaced.
Oh, okay. It's another one. Okay, I have to cut some of these folks out. People don't tell me everything. I will vote yes. And Nancy Sorden, Alex Steinberg. All right. It's 3-4, 3 against. And so the
doesn't pass.
The amendment has failed. So, all right, 1 second. Okay, so the amendment has failed. Therefore, the motion on the floor is still approved minutes, 5 minutes, CFO report, 10 minutes, question and answer after that, 15 minutes, set next meeting date, 5 minutes, how to bring in revenue and cut expenses, 30 minutes. Motion from last meeting, 15 minutes, and new business. Anybody have any further discussion they want to make on the motion to approve the agenda or have any amendments or anything else? All right. Is there any objection I'm not hearing anything. So is there any objection to approving the agenda as read? Hearing none, I'll mark that as passed without objection. Okay. Next thing is the approval of minutes. And so we have the minutes from last time, January 23rd, and I will move to approve the minutes of the January 23rd meeting. Any debate or anything on that?
They look good as usual.
Okay, so I move to approve the January 23rd, 2018 minutes. Any debate? Is there any objection to approving the January 23rd minutes? Hearing none, pass without objection. And the next thing is the CFO report. Comes for 10 minutes. So, Sam, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. So let me be brief because this is an open session, and a lot of material these days can be discussed in the closed session only. Let me give some important updates. For the fiscal year 16 audit, we started the audit about 2 weeks back, and we have already filed for the extension. So until 31st May 2018, and I'm hoping that we will get the extension, but we have not received an official letter so far. So five stations we could prepare until audit stage, and that is New York, Washington, PRA, National Office, and Houston. And that we have submitted to the auditors. The two stations that we could not submit until this time are KPFK and KPSA. KPFA have been late. I had reported in my CFO report, and KPFK, some cleaning up is further required. So we are doing that. We brought up the audit work for New York and for Washington Station for the cleanup purpose here at the National Office, and some schedules were provided by the station. So they are in reasonable shape at this time, so that the audit can start. We have not been able to make the consolidation because we have not received the statements for two stations. So there's still some work to be done. So I'm hoping that by the next week, we will be able to catch up full speed. But in the meantime, a lot of requests have come in from the auditors, and that we have passed on to the stations. So now they are pulling in all the information and gathering all the documentation that is required. So it's pretty busy time for all of us. And I would make a request to the stations that how soon they can provide the backup information. That would be helpful. We can provide from here, from the National Office, but a lot of that backup has to come from the stations. So that is pretty much in progress at this time. There are other components that are equally important for the fiscal year 16 audit, the financial statements audit, to get completed. And there are two other audits that are happening at this time. One is for the retirement plan audit for fiscal year 16. And the second is 403B audit. That is also a retirement plan, but it's a separate than the commonly called the pension plan. So the retirement plan is a little bit tricky. And this morning I had sent one detailed note. We are in the process of hiring an ERISA attorney because if you may have noticed that the collective bargaining agreements of different stations, they are not in agreement, or they are not consistent with our retirement plan document. So that is the reason why even if we have the money, we cannot contribute to the fund because there's some corrective action that is needed. And it's pretty exhaustive, the recommendations that we have received. That breaks down for different years and for different stations. And I will just briefly mention here so that people don't get anxious. The recommendation says that we are not obligated for certain stations. And that could be true or that cannot be true because it's debatable. Definitely, it will not sit well with the employees for those stations where the collective bargaining agreement is not clear. The second thing, the second argument that can be made is that we have already accrued on our financial statements. So that is a definite liability. We cannot deny that. And there could be other correspondence in the time being where we may have established kind of tacit acknowledgement that we owe this money. So I will proceed with this notion that we have to pay to everybody. Now the thing is that if the collective bargaining agreement does not provide enough verbiage, enough language, then we may have to go through some very elaborate, pretty comprehensive correction method, and that is called the VCP. And please refer to my report, because I don't want to get into too much detail. But the reason why I'm describing that is that there will be some anxious moments. Some people will be disturbed by looking at the recommendations. So I'm just clarifying those. We will proceed with this notion that we have to pay to everyone. The tricky part would be that the unions will have to agree to something common. And that is the reason why the NSA attorney's involvement is so necessary, and maybe the labor attorney, because NSA attorney does not negotiate with the unions. So the objective is that we will come up with a standard template or standard plan, and PNB will have to step in to set aside money or to mandate stations to set aside money so that we can come up with a payment plan. And that is required by the retirement plan auditors, and that is also required by the financial statements auditor. So that would be my brief comment with that, but feel free to send me an email if there's anything confusing. We are trying to wrap up both the audits as soon as possible, but I mean it definitely will take some time. So let me move on to my other topic. I cannot provide much input on ESRT judgment at this time because there's still the direction is for the PNB to go for a loan. I have not seen any loan documentation, anything happening, so I don't know where the stages, but definitely ESRT has exercised patience. They have not seized our assets, although they have the right to, and they can claim. The trends are also not encouraging, the amount of late fee that they have charged and the interest that is accruing. That is pretty disappointing. So we definitely have to come up with some solution fairly quickly because it cannot continue for long this way. But I don't have any further information how soon or how in what method this can be accomplished. But that prompts me to move to my other topic. And I had provided a tentative budget for BI, for WBI, to, I believe, R. Paul Martin, Alex, and Bill Crozier. take a look and let me know if they have any questions. I was accruing the monthly power rental at the normal rate, about $60,000 a month. But after receiving this latest calculation from the Empire State, where they have charged the late fee and the interest, I don't know how we can account for that, because if we accrue, then it'll be pretty bad, and I possibly cannot account for that. So I will wait till we get a resolution in about maybe a month or so. What may be the real charge, or how can we challenge that so that it may be a little bit more more realistic? I don't know. I still don't have any answers for that. So I'll put that that budget for say for hold. And that also is true for the accounting. Definitely, we will have to account for all the late fee and interest charges until date, because that is a claim that ESRT has asserted. I still don't know what may be the future outcome and what accounting should be done. So that puts the statements that we make every month in a little bit of a difficulty, because those don't reflect these charges. So this is something that, say, I will still postpone for about a month or so till we decide what may be the outcome for the ESRT claim, and how quickly or how we would like to pay off this amount. So this will be my update. I don't have anything further to add, and we can switch to question and answer at this point.
I have a question.
Okay, so question.
Mansoor okay. Has questions.
Yes, hold on. All right, sure. 1 second though, before we go anywhere, I have to say, Sam, what you sent, what I got was about the BAI stuff, was I got a cash flow. I did not get an actual budget. So maybe.
So you're right. It was titled as cash flow, but actually it is a budget. The because we treat everything 100% as cash, so you're seeing a very large negative cash cash outflow at the top. If you look at the top two lines, you will see a negative cash outflow. But the middle section and everything is just a budget.
It's okay. Budgets are rather more complicated than this. I mean, you know, the budgets, one, there's a template, and this isn't in that template. And two, you have a lot more in a budget than what's in that cash flow. So if that were to come before the NFC as a budget, I'd have to say it is not a budget, and I wouldn't vote for that. Anyway, all right, so I guess we'll look at that at some other point. Anyway,
you're right.
Okay. So Mansoor wanted to go.
Go ahead,
Mansoor.
Sam. Oh, yeah.
No,
Sam,
you're right.
I wanted to answer you.
No, Paul, you're right. Very much. That is not the budget, the full scope budget that you're referring to. I just sent a tentative template that this is what we are showing at this time, because this was produced by somebody outside. I just wanted that you can take a look, and if you have any question, you can let us know. But then something else came up, and now I am held up. I don't really want to give any budget which is showing such a big loss, and which I don't know what maybe the future kind of resolution would be.
Okay. All right, Mansoor.
All right, thank you. Sam, I wanted to know, we've been discussing audit and getting it done for a year and a half now, and we are always short of manpower, and we discussed this thing in the past that my recommendation was to hire two part-time people, pay them off well, get them the job, get the jobs done so we can get the audit done in order to get the CPB money down the road. So we're still at a square one. Have you hired anybody?
So that's a good question, Mansoor. I mean, you won't believe that we have reviewed about 20 resumes in the past 1 month or so. Had three or four different interviews, but the labor market is so tight that we are not getting a skilled person. My experience has been last year about 3 or 4 people, they quit the job in about 2 days on the job. They could not handle the reconciliation work that so I should say that the work that national office does is very different than what the accounting is done at the station.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And we require a lot of these days when computers have taken over, the manual skills are becoming very, very difficult to find. So somebody who may not only have computer skills, but the theoretical skills, that is very much required. Because what we do most of the time is troubleshooting. Then the station's accounting is not correct, and we have to correct that accounting and have to make adjusting entries. That requires a tremendous amount of skill. And that is not there. So that is the reason why we are having so much difficulty in finding the right talent. So that is the biggest bottleneck. I have two other candidates coming in the next week, 3 to 4 days. I'm keeping fingers crossed. Let's see if somebody can turn out. One looks promising at this time.
Well, that's good news. So is it a matter of money that we have to pay them, or is it a matter of not having actual person out there who can do the job that we are requiring?
Well, the money is also an issue. These days, California market is so tight, is so expensive that I compare with Minnesota because I have lived there for 20 years. It's 30 to 40% higher than the Midwest. So what we call the mid-level accountant, which we used to get for 35 to 40, here the range is about 55 to 60 or maybe even higher than that. The kind of person that we are looking for is definitely already in the job. So he or she is not willing to move unless until we really pay very attractive wages. So that is an issue, but I am not making money to be an issue right now. I'm just for the short term, like for 6 months, if I can get some person, that will be very helpful. But unless until I find the right skills, I cannot give an offer.
I hear you.
Can't do the staff.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Ken, go ahead.
Okay, I'm having a little bit of difficulty technically understanding what's being said. I could just get a simple clarification without explanations. In the last 6 months, have we hired anybody to work on the audits? Yes or no? One person, two persons, zero persons? That's just the question. What's the answer?
Well, in the last 6 months or so, probably I will say that the team that is there, I hired them about maybe 7 or 8 months when I came back. So both the persons that are working on the audit or the accounting, they are new.
But in the last six months, we haven't hired anybody else.
No.
Okay. Because you can't find qualified people who pay work at the salary we're offering.
No, that is not the point I try to make. The
I understand it's complicated, and it takes a magician, but you can't find somebody. You can't offer enough money to find a person who can do the work.
No, it is not that. The controller that was there, basically he was also employed. So I could not just add on another headcount. So the need was not there. And then when the controller interim controller left, then the need came up. So I don't think you're asking the right question.
What's the right question?
So the urgency has been coming in the last 3 or 4 months. And the other thing, the other struggle was that should we hire a competent HR manager or should we hire a skilled accountant? Because what is happening is that in the absence of an HR manager, the accounting people are doing the HR work, and that is not a good plan, never a good plan. So my debate was going on that whether I should hire a more qualified HR person and give the job to that person instead of hiring a very skilled accountant and still not be able to go anywhere. So that's a struggle that I am going through, and still the same struggle is happening. So then the money issue comes in, and then the urgencies, the priorities also change. So there's a lot that is going on. I mean, it's not just a very simple question.
Okay, thank you.
Bill,
I don't know if I could. I could ask Bill. I was just going to say, Bill, at the time, during this time, was the IED. Perhaps he can give a more lucid response.
Well, is it my turn?
Go ahead, Bill.
You can go ahead.
Well, this is, I guess maybe I'll let Sam clarify, make sure that I've been telling people the right thing. I've been assuming and telling people that it's hard to find experienced people we need on a temporary basis. We're mostly looking for temp people. Because the really skilled people don't typically want to work as temps or part time, and so they want to have full time permanent jobs. Maybe that's not correct, but that's my assumption and based on what I'm hearing. And yet we can't afford to hire.
That is absolutely correct. In order to keep my answer short, actually I don't explain completely. That is absolutely correct, because nobody wants to work for 3 months or 4 months and without benefits. If they want to work for this, then the hourly rate is too much. First of all, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Well, so, and then the other part of the issue is that yet we can't hire additional people as permanent regular employees unless we know we have the money to pay them on a continuing basis, and we're still having trouble with getting central services from some of the stations. Maybe you can clarify how we are on that too, Sam.
Yeah, so that, again, that's the reason why I say that it's not such a simple question. We have more than $600,000 outstanding in central services from 2 stations, primarily. So how can I make a hiring decision if I cannot assure that the person will be paid 3 months or 6 months or a year? So all these have to be factored in before we make the hiring decision. Today I was looking at the latest outstanding statement for the central services. Tomorrow I will send that out to everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that would be helpful to see.
Let me ask something else here. Sam, previously you've told us that there was a September 14th deadline from the Attorney General's office that if we did not get FY16 audit into the Attorney General by February 14th, which is tomorrow, that there was a danger that they would revoke our tax-exempt status. Now, you had said previously that you thought that maybe you could get them to give us an extension, which they'd previously refused to give us, if you could show them an adequate progress, and you were kind of hopeful that we could show them an adequate I'm doing too many things at once here. If we could show them adequate progress, that they would give us the extension. Now, have you heard anything further from them, and what kind of progress are you going to be able to show them that might get them to grant us the extension past tomorrow? And if they don't grant the extension, how long might it be between tomorrow and when tax exemption goes away?
Yeah, so you're right. I had mentioned that initially we had requested until May 31st, 2018 extension, and that was not granted. This time, again, we have made the extension request, and that was made by Regalia and Associates on our behalf. And we have still asked for 3 months, and we have documented the steps that we have taken. So it's a pretty exhaustive letter that they have written on our behalf. I am hopeful that we will get the extension, but it's not within my control. And that is the reason why I had to start the audit in a manner that we started. Generally, this is not the case. Generally, when we complete all the statements from all the stations, we do the consolidation work, and then only we start the audit. That's a standard practice. But we had to cut short that process because everybody understood that we have to document and we have to start the audit so as to demonstrate that we have done some work. So that is the reason why this was a very inefficient way of starting the audit.
Okay. The other part of it was, if worst comes to worst and they don't accept that and they don't give us an extension, how long might it be before they would say you don't have a tax exemption anymore? Is it something like, you know, they file the papers and an hour later it's done, or does it take them 6 months? Any idea?
Well, I can't say, because sometimes we get very quick response, sometimes we don't get a quick response. I am hoping that within 15 days or so we will listen for sure. But the point I'm trying to make is that how long, I mean, we know that these deadlines are there. So how long can we continue to live in this crisis mode? At this time, we should be working on the 2017 audit if we really want to be current. I have also submitted a plan how we can be current. I mean, this is what bothers me most. I have submitted a plan. How can we be current with all the audits, 2017 and 2018, if we have any chance of applying for the CPB funding in 2019? So, but I have yet to see any response. So if we keep on reacting, say, after the fact, probably we are not going to go anywhere. I mean, this is the cycle that we are living in. If you look at the workload that we have in replying to the late notices, I mean, definitely I think you will shake your head. What is happening? Why is this happening? So what can we do? I mean, after the fact, we are in a perpetual cycle of delay and default at this time.
Nick for the stack.
Who?
It's Nick Arena.
Nick, okay. Nick, go ahead.
It's Sam, have you considered hiring an outside accounting firm that you would pay an hourly rate for the temporary work that you need to be completed versus trying to secure a permanent employee, and you can, you know, utilize different levels of talent to complete some of the tasks that you have at hand?
Well, the hourly rates are so high, Nick, that I cannot even imagine. You will not, I mean, if I tell you the rates, you will not believe those rates. So you are from the Washington market. You know how expensive those rates are. We could not get, for your station, we could not get at $50 an hour an experienced accountant. So you can imagine the kind of work that we need here. How much will it cost? How should we get the money for that? And there's hardly any kind of input in the 2 or 3 months, and the money goes waste because that person is gone. All the training that we give to the person, a new person, that is a waste when the person is gone. So unless until we decide really that we want to get serious about it and we want to have proper staffing and we want to handle this like all the audits, and I must mention that there are two other audits that are happening concurrently, which is the retirement plan and the 403B plan audit. So unless until we devote enough attention and enough resources, we will always be talking in the same manner. And before I kind of conclude on that, let me also remind that this is just not the audit, but the other compliance matters that are associated with the audit. Like, we have to file Form 990 every year that we are late. We have to file 5500 form for the retirement plans that we are late, and that we have to catch up. There's a tremendous amount of information that has to be collected on these. So you can imagine that how can we make things work if we continue this way?
Okay. I will point out we have reached we've gone a little bit over the time limit. So if anybody wants to ask any more questions or continue this, they would need to make a motion to extend. Do I hear that? Okay, not hearing a motion to extend, we go to the next item, which is set next meeting date. Okay, I'll point out that in the usual way we do things, we would meet on the 27th of February. Would anybody like to make a motion to meet on the 27th of February?
I do.
This is Ken. I'll make that motion. Hello?
Okay, yes. Again, I will take a few seconds to type it in and, so I'll be a little bit slow. But okay, the motion is to meet next on February 27th, 2018. So that's a motion on the floor. Any debate on that motion or anything? Amendments or anything? Hearing none. Is there any objection to passing the motion to meet next on February 27th? Hearing no objection, I'm marking that as passed without objection. Okay. Next is the item to how to bring in revenue and cut expenses. Bill, I think this was something you wanted to start out with.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's hard to imagine anything more important right now. I know that we've got a lot of things on our plate, but as I sent out some email to all of you earlier, I hope you saw that. Just in summary, we're looking at getting a loan. We don't have a short-term loan for about $2 million and then a longer-term loan, maybe perhaps for 3 years, of about $3.5 million. We don't have that yet. But even if we get that, say, next month, that's what people have been hoping for, we'll run through all that money pretty quickly because of all the money that we already owe Empire State, which includes the judgment plus additional accrued lease fees that we haven't paid anything since May of last year. And then there's interest, and then we just found out about some really large penalties, and maybe we can get the penalties reduced if we let's talk with our attorneys about that, possibly. But I don't know. But even without that, we owe an awful lot of money. We're going to go through, burn through all that really soon. And then we also have an about $65,000 a month that we're going to have to be paying for the rest of this year, every month, for the lease. And it goes up next year. We'll have to pay it all up next year and through June of 2020. And we don't have any way identified yet of coming up with that money. The PNB has approved selling the Nakupon National Office Building, which is next door to KPFA. But, you know, that also won't be enough. That in combination with a loan still won't get us through the end of the year when we add in the pensions that we have to be paying really soon. And, again, we're not sure if we're going to have to pay penalties on that. That might make it even worse. So what we need to do basically, just to get through the end of 2018, is we need to come up with some more revenue and not just move money around, but we need to increase the revenue and or decrease expenses, and we need to start really soon. Otherwise, we're going to be hit with even more late fees if we can't get current and stay current with that tower lease. And I'm really worried about that. I don't see how we're doing it. We can't do it with the way we're doing now. We don't have the cash flow. And if you look at our income statement, you know, it's a bit misleading on expenses because the expenses are accrued, and it doesn't mean they're paid. Now, a lot of them are not paid, especially for WBAI. And even the pension funding has been accrued for all these years, but it hasn't actually been – the cash flow hasn't been generated. So stations are going to have to come up with money for that. And we have to figure out how to pay that tower lease, and we need to start figuring something out immediately. So I'll stop. Let somebody be able to talk.
Okay. Let me make a fast, just a fast thing here. We had a meeting of the WBII Local Finance Committee on January 25th, and general manager came up with his what he believes the empire, the whole ESRT thing comes to, and it's around half a million less than what the CFO thinks it is, and I think the WBII general manager probably has a good handle on that because he's been looking at it so much. So we might be, I mean, this isn't the most rosy news. But we might the total ESRT thing may be only a mere 2.6 million right now, and how to deal with the constant late fees is something that's been going on for many years. They can kill you with that. And yes, all right, I'll leave it at that. And I just wanted to say that, and we should now, I guess, talk about how to raise that kind of money. So anybody want to talk?
So if I can
–
all right. Whose name – call out your name. What?
Sam.
Okay, let's
add
Sam, then Mansoor.
I'll let Sam go first, yeah.
Yeah, Sam, then Mansoor, and then we'll go on for more.
Go ahead, so just quickly to clarify that the 2.6 million that Berthold is saying, that is as per the invoice. So that does not include the late fee. When we include the late fee and the charge and the interest charges, then the recent statement that we have received from them is a 3.092 million. So I'm not making up my numbers here. I can forward the spreadsheet that we have received from them. So I just wanted to clarify this, but let me get to the point that Bill is making. And because, I mean, he writes so well and he has articulated the financial issues so very well that I have taken a kind of a back seat for the last couple of months that he was the IED. What I would like to say that same old cannot continue. We have to figure out a way where each station has to become independent in terms of break even, like all the costs, all the expenses have to be met by the station. And that includes the central services. Unless until that happens, this present structure is not working. This national network or national office or it just cannot work because we cannot do staffing decisions or we cannot make any plans if we don't have a dependable source of revenue. The stations cannot develop their own plan. So we have to look at the structural problem here, and somehow we have to come up with a solution how to fix this. And unless until this resolution has some teeth in it, I don't think that, say, I agree with Ken what he was saying earlier, that sitting here and gossiping and talking about it is not going to work. So if we can come up with some resolution which has teeth and which has some meaning, then it makes sense. Let me just quickly connect to this point that whenever the audit happens, we have to give them a projected cash flow statement. Now, sit in my position, what projection should I give to the auditors for the fiscal year 2016 audit? And they ask for 12-month projection ahead of time. So that means going into 2019. So if you can help me understand what projections I should give to the auditors, and how should they conclude where we would be? This is the dilemma that we are facing.
Okay, Mansoor.
Sam Mansoor is here. I'm not understanding your statement. Sorry.
Well, what I am saying is that the cash flow, there's a negative cash flow continuously. And I'm talking about network as a whole. Definitely, there are a few stations which are contributing to the negative cash flow. But when we look at the combined statement, the network as a whole is showing a negative cash flow, right? Am I clear on that?
Right.
So that is the reason why we have accumulated deficits over the years, and that has hurt our credit rating. That has hurt our ability to do business. I'm the open session, so I don't want to kind of disparage the business so much, but this is the hard fact. The auditors require a projected cash flow to give them some confidence that we will be in business 12 months from now. What kind of confidence I can
back.
Give to them?
Can to this back.
Okay, I understand.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I understand, and I would like to talk about the same issue.